Zimbabwe's opposition Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai and longtime leader Robert Mugabe continue nationwide campaigning ahead of presidential and parliamentary polls scheduled for July the 31st. Earlier this month, Tsvangirai said reforms urgently needed to ensure a fair and free vote have not been introduced. Vatican Radio's Father Moses Hamungole is in Kinshasa for the plenary assembly of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences in Africa and Madagascar to find out more about the concerns of the Church ahead of the Zimbabwe elections. He spoke with the Secretary General of the country's Catholic Bishops Conference, Father Frederick Chiromba.
Zimbabwe is currently preparing for elections. Well, the nation has been anticipating these elections for the past 5 years, ever since the controversial elections of 2008, which were inconclusive. And in the end, the country ended up with the government of national unity. And since then, well, this government of national unity at least has been able to produce a new national constitution. It was good to see, you know, Zimbabweans who are so polarized actually agreeing on something. This is something that the Church had already been calling for as far back as 2006, that, in view of the difficulties that the country was facing, the bishops had already said, well, in order to move things forward, we need a common national vision, we need a new national constitution. And fortunately, well, the government of national unity was able to deliver that early this year. Now, with the new constitution in place, well, the next thing are the elections. And again, the Zimbabwe Catholic Bishops' Conference, it started already to prepare the nation as much this year, where on the 15th of March 2013, the Zimbabwe Catholic Bishops' Conference issued a pastoral letter emphasizing the importance of the forthcoming national elections, where they described these elections as a second chance. Well, the title of the pastoral letter is Zimbabwe Elections 2018 and the God of Second Chances. Now, in that pastoral letter, actually, the bishops say, well, these elections in 2013 are as important as the elections we had in 1980. Because in 1980, well, the country closed the door to colonialism and opened another to independence. And here in 2013, they say, well, the country needs to close the door to political intolerance, violence, impunity, lack of transparency and accountability, intimidation, corruption, and open another door to a true democratic dispensation in conducting free and fair elections that respect the will of the people and uphold human dignity. In that same pastoral letter, the bishops then go on to describe the expectations of the Zimbabwean people at independence, that at the dawn of the independence in 1980, a nation was born out of a protracted armed struggle and many years of pain, suffering and oppression. Now, the ideals of the liberation war of one person, one vote, and the yearning for freedom, freedom from oppression, freedom from racism, freedom from human indignity and violation, freedom from poverty, hunger, ignorance and disease, coupled with the urgent and pressing need for the recovery and restoration of the land, were the driving force behind the fight for liberation. So the bishops actually remind the nation of these aspirations, you know, at independence in 1980. And then they also describe then what has gone on, you know, the hardships that the nation has faced, you know, since its independence, how in a way even those expectations of the people were sort of betrayed when they were not fulfilled. Where instead of, you know, achieving authentic freedom, there was an escalation of violence, corruption, even poverty. And now the bishops are saying, well, God has offered this opportunity now in 2013 as a second chance for the nation to really redeem itself. Where they're also saying, well, we may view whatever happened in the past as, you know, a preparation for this moment. You know, these were the pains of growing up as a nation. They in fact cite the one saying of blessed John Paul II, where he says, well, for a stalk to grow or a flower to open, there must be time that cannot be forced. And they're saying, well, perhaps, well, nothing could be forced during this time of learning. But now we have come to a stage where the nation has to really embrace the democratic dispensation. And therefore, in that same vein, the bishops call for a credible electoral process. They are calling for free and fair elections, elections that will be credible. And so in the same pastoral letter, they go back to their pastoral letter of 2004, which was actually on a credible electoral process for a responsible and accountable leadership. And in that pastoral letter already, they had given guidelines, you know, of what it means or what it would take to hold a credible election. And in the same pastoral letter, then they go on to describe, you know, the conditions that must prevail before the elections, during the elections, and after the elections, that, well, elections don't just occur in one day, but we must take the whole environment as a whole and look at all those periods, whether the environment was conducive to free and fair elections. Then also go ahead to urge the people really to scrutinize the candidates, those who are putting themselves forward, you know, for various positions, be it in the provinces or in parliament or even for the presidency. And in the final analysis, then the people are simply urging, you know, the nation to make the right choices, to, you know, choose people who have the nation at heart, people who want to serve and don't want are not there simply for the purposes of enriching themselves. They conclude by saying, well, we have written this pastoral letter for Easter 2013 when we remember the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May our country rise to new life in the Lord and move forward to the kingdom future he promises. We invite all Christians and people of goodwill to commit themselves to promoting peace in Zimbabwe and overcome the culture of intolerance, intimidation, and political violence. As church, we'll endeavor to facilitate forgiveness, national healing, and reconciliation in the years to come. The country has endured many years of violence and will take many years to heal. In his post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Africhemunus, on the church in Africa in service to reconciliation, justice and peace, the Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI says, it is important for the present and for the future to purify memories so as to build a better society where such tragedies are no longer repeated. And so from there, the bishops then say, well, we invite you all to pray for our country at all times and during all occasions, particularly at this important time in our life as a nation. At the same time, it is also very important that all who are eligible to vote must register and exercise their responsibility as citizens by casting their votes on the due date, including priests and religious. We thank the God of second chances for bringing us to the elections of 2013. However, we are also fully conscious that the God of second chances has a day of judgment. Second chances are not forever. Let us therefore make the most of the present opportunity to redeem ourselves in faith. There may be no other chance. And then they end by saying, well, may God Almighty bless the nation of Zimbabwe and grant it the faith, the vision, and the courage to build a Zimbabwe that is free, tolerant, peaceful, prosperous, and God-fearing. So that's the whole vision of the church, you know, for the elections and for the nation. Well, the church is actually placing a lot of importance on these elections to such an extent that, well, the bishops are urging, you know, people to go in their numbers to vote, to express their will. At the same time, the Church is also offering, you know, its own people through the commissions of justice and peace to actually observe the elections so that the bishops can form an opinion whether these elections will be free and fair. Of course, we have had some hiccups here and there where people are arguing whether, you know, the timing of the elections at the end of this month gives people, or rather gives the nation enough time, you know, to carry out the necessary reforms, be they the electoral reforms, media reforms, and particularly the security sector reforms, because unfortunately the security forces have tended to be compromised since independence, where instead of being at the service of the state, they were also putting themselves at the service of a particular party. And other parties are saying, well, we need a security sector reform where, you know, people are free really to express their will, and where state institutions are at the service of the state and not a particular party. So this is the situation in which we are, and as church, we are concerned that these forthcoming elections be credible, free and fair, because without that, you know, it only perpetuates, you know, the isolation of the country and the current problems the nation is facing. Whereas I think it's time to move on. It's time now to develop the nation, because Zimbabwe such has a lot of potential. It used to be a bread basket, and now it has become a basket case. We believe, you know, that given the right conditions, Zimbabwe should be able to rise in a very short time.
When you look at the ground, the situation, what has been the reception of the people, Catholics or non-Catholic, or even the government, to the pastoral letter of the bishops?
The people welcomed the pastoral letter at the time. You know, it was a timely reminder. And as the elections approach now, it would be useful to perhaps even make more copies of the pastoral letter for distribution to the people. As for the government, well, at least I was fortunate to have a meeting with the president. You know, there was a team there of the heads of Christian denominations who were visiting the president, and that was a couple of weeks after the pastoral letter had been published. And the president came into the meeting actually holding the pastoral letter, where he pointed out that, well, he welcomed the pastoral letter, and that, well, the church should speak more, you know, on the situation to give some guidance. But of course, he was also quick to point out that, well, he agreed with some of the sentiments in the pastoral letter, but also disagreed with others. Well, which is natural that there were areas where he disagreed, like where the bishops are saying, well, we should invite, you know, international observers, regardless of who they are or where they come from. And he was quick to point out that, so some of these observers may not be from friendly countries, and he was questioning all the wisdom of inviting people perhaps who may already be prejudiced. Yeah. But anyway, those were some of the sentiments. But on the whole, I think the pastoral letter has been welcomed, especially in its emphasis on calling for peace, because in it the bishops actually not only call for peace, but they actually say, well, we demand a peaceful environment, you know, before, during and after the elections.
Has there been any reaction from the other party of the government of national unity, that's MDC?
Yes, the other parties actually agree with the sentiments that the church has been expressing, especially the call for peace, the call to, you know, do away with violence, that, well, this process must be non-violent. These are sentiments that, you know, have been highly welcomed by the other parties as well, especially those who used to be in the opposition. In some way, those who are not as privileged as ZANU-PF, you know, tend to agree more with the church, because they feel, well, those sentiments, you know, sort of correspond to what they desire, which also leads to a further accusation, you know, because then ZANU-PF tends to accuse the church and say, well, you are siding with, you are being partisan, you are siding with the opposition, whereas, in fact, well, the church has always based itself on principles, and particularly on the social teaching of the church.
Speaking generally, do you see any preparation on the ground in terms of either the registration of new voters or the preparation for the divisions of the polling station, or in terms of information to, as you said, as the bishop said, elections are not just held in one day. There's the preparation, then the actual election, and of course, the after the election.
On the ground, actually, a lot of work is going on in terms of the registration of voters. The registration only stopped the other day after being extended, you know, for another 30 days after the initial 2 weeks that were given. But apparently the numbers of people kept coming and wanted to be registered, so much that by the time the period ended 2 days ago, quite a number of people felt shortchanged because they had not yet registered. Unfortunately, the registration process was made rather cumbersome because people had to produce their national IDs, but also apart from that, they had to produce the proof of residence. And if they did not have the proof of residence, they had to get somebody to give them an affidavit. So the process turned out to be very cumbersome, and quite a number of people feel, you know, they were left out even during that registration. So that's creating problems. As for the polling stations, well, the understanding is that the government of national unity will not be creating any new national polling stations, but will be using the same polling stations that were used in 2008. So the preparations are there, but given the time frame, which is very short, you know, it's making things difficult for everybody in preparing. And this is where the church would sort of feel, you know, couldn't we give a little more time so that at least we get the process right this time?
But you're talking of the process, it seems it has gone to court, and the court have made the final decision, as it were.
Yes, quite true that the matter of the debt actually was brought to the Constitutional Court. But the bone of contention really was not the debt as such, but the environment, whether the environment was conducive enough to hold elections, you know, by the 31st of July. Perhaps what needed to have happened is for all these political parties to have come together and agreed on a debt. Unfortunately, it had to be decided through a court process, because I understand an individual actually launched the matter with the court, whereas the feeling of the common man would have been, well, here we are not only faced with a legal ruling, but even that legal ruling had to take political considerations into account, and those political considerations apparently have not been fully taken into account. But nevertheless, the political parties seem to be prepared for any debt, you know, all of them, even though there are still these concerns about the environment.
So, just as a way of concluding, when you look at on the ground now, do you feel the situation is much better than the situation was in 2008?
Well, on the ground, at least, there has been some discussion, and the parties have agreed, you know, on a code of conduct. They will not be violent. No one will be harassed. You know, when people go into the booth, they will be free to vote for the candidates of their own choice. But nevertheless, there is still that fear, you know, from 2008, where people are still apprehensive, and some are still very fearful. Well, that's something that is, well, difficult to measure. So come the elections, I think the message that is going to the people, be it from the church or even from the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, is that, you know, once you are in that booth, whatever you write, we'll assume that is what you want. And we hope, you know, that message will be delivered to the people, that really they should express their will freely.